Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 22nd, 1996.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening or good morning, as the case may be, across all these many time zones, from the Tahitian and Hawaiian island chains in the west, east to the Virgin Islands in the Caribbean, south into South America, north to the pole, worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell, and I bid you all good day, I guess. Morning, evening, whatever it happens to be. All right, well, I was originally going to have David back on again tonight, but I am not going to do that tonight because I'm not sure enough of what's going on in the Southland with respect to the fires. Six firemen were injured Tuesday battling wildfires that we talked about last night all night that burned more than 80 homes now and consumed over 30,000 acres across Southern California. Officials say the most seriously hurt firefighter had burns over 70% of his body. And that many times means a death sentence. The firemen were trapped in their truck while fighting a 13,000-acre blaze that threatens the celebrity enclave of Malibu. Officials say the blaze is only 10% contained. A firestorm in San Diego County has gutted at least 70 homes there, blackened 6,000 acres in Carlsbad and San Marcos. A third large blaze in the Otay Mountains, southeast of San Diego, consumed 9,000 acres and forced the closure of a border crossing with Mexico. I'm sure by now you've seen many of the pictures. Literally tornadoes of fire. The Santa Ana winds are presently dying out in most places. But it's a very unsure situation, and should the wind come back up again, so would the danger. So for that reason, not knowing what might occur during the night, I decided to put the show off with David until we're sure we've got a night where it's clear. So we'll do open lines tonight. Anything you want to talk about is going to be fair game. The Pentagon says it is notifying 20,000 U.S. Gulf War troops that they may have been exposed to chemical weapons. The numbers keep going up. First it was 5,000, then 20,000, or now 20,000, and soon a lot of people believe it may go to 100,000. Rashes, vomiting, night sweats, loss of appetite. It's got to be something, I would say, wouldn't you? So, once again, our government lies. I really don't know what other word you can put to it, but it is a lie. An FBI official, as I told you would probably occur, has now been charged with obstruction of justice in connection with the murder trial of white separatist Randy Weaver over the deadly 1992 shootout at Ruby Ridge, Idaho. Justice Department sources said that E. Michael Cahoe, chief of the violent crime section at the FBI headquarters during the incident, has agreed to plead guilty to the charges and cooperate with prosecutors in their long-running investigation into possible wrongdoing by the FBI. And for a long time, I told people I thought there would be an official result to what occurred at Ruby Ridge, and so it seems there may be. Get this, nicotine may prevent Alzheimer's. What? Nicotine does something good? A new study indicates nicotine may help prevent Alzheimer's disease. Case Western Reserve University chemist Michael Zagorski says the drug found in tobacco appears to stop the formation of plaque in the brain. The plaque is believed to play a role in the dementia of Alzheimer's sufferers. The doctor stressed he is not urging people to take up smoking to prevent Alzheimer's, study based on test tube research, not actual brain tissue. Well, what are they going to do in places where smoking has been outlawed if they find Nicotine is preventative to Alzheimer's. I wonder if somebody could get a medical excuse to be able to smoke. From KPAY, our affiliate in Chico, California, they apparently just announced, and the follow-up to that story that I did, that two cattle were found mutilated, surgically mutilated, with no trace of blood, no marks in the area that would indicate people or someone was there to do that work. Make of that what you will. A 5.7 earthquake in central Alaska, about 115 miles southeast of Fairbanks, as we keep track of the swarming earthquakes. And, of course, we're in the political season. This is an interesting poll. According to CNN, after the first presidential debate, the question was, who do you believe to be more honest, Dole or Clinton? The answer, Dole over 50%, Clinton around 30%. So the people are saying Dole is the more honest of the two candidates. But then asked, who would you vote for? The answer, Dole 28%, Clinton 58%. Now, this says something, does it not, about the American electorate? On the one hand, in question one, they are asked, who is honest? And only a third of the people say President Clinton. But then they're asked, who are they going to vote for? And two-thirds of the people, just about, say President Clinton. Now, in my way of thinking, this says more about the people surveyed, or if you wish to believe it representative, the electorate, than it does about the candidates. Asked by Newsweek, who is the more negative or nasty? Dole gets about two-thirds, 59%. Clinton, 11%. Both of them, 13%. Who has better character to be president? Clinton gets 48%. Dole, 36%. And 10% of the people said it makes no difference at all. I am going to make my prediction for the election, what I think is going to happen. And we'll see if I'm right or wrong. I haven't done very well with the stock market, so there's no reason to believe this will be accurate. But here is my prediction for what it's worth. Bill Clinton is going to be reelected, if not in a landslide, then by a great margin. Republicans will hold Congress. Now, I'm not as sure about this one, but I believe and I will predict the Republicans are going to hold Congress by a very slim margin. The Senate will remain safely in the hands of the Republicans within a seat or two at the most. Within a year after the election, the Clinton administration is going to, in my estimation, be buried in scandal. So that takes my prediction about a year out from the election. I believe Bill Clinton's going to win. Republicans are going to hold on to both houses of Congress, and that within a year, a lot that has been suppressed before the election is going to begin to come out, and the president is going to be in trouble. Somebody sent me a bumper sticker. It was Mark. I don't know where Mark is. It simply says, if God had wanted us to vote, he would have given us candidates. A little cynical, but it may be mainly right on. Bob Dole has tried a number of things against Bill Clinton, none of which have worked. Taxes, crime, most recently attacks on the Clintons' fundraising activities, the foreign donations, and so forth. And none of it has worked. If you look at the polls, and here we are under 2 weeks now till Election Day, they have widened for Bill Clinton, not the other way around. You would certainly expect them to be tightening by now, but indeed they are instead widening, and I wonder what you make of that. Nothing Bob Dole has done, including the most recent fundraising allegations, and some of those are very serious about LiPo, the foreign donations, all the rest of that, $425,000 from an Indonesian company. Pretty serious allegations, really, but they are not going anywhere. in the minds of the public. And that makes me circle right back to this survey. The American people are saying, we know he is not the most honest guy in the world, but we like him. He's our guy. That's exactly what this survey is saying. All right, well, I've got a bunch of other stuff here for you, but I'll just kind of fit it in as I can. A very interesting piece of email from a pilot out there, and we'll get to that. Not going to believe what they're about to do in Australia. Oh my. In Canberra, from Canberra, this is incredible. A lawmaker's call to wipe out all cats in Australia because they prey on wildlife raised howls of protest Friday from animal rights groups and the country's pet lovers. Richard Evans wants Australia's the entire nation of Australia, to be feline-free by 2020. And get this, called this week for unleashing a fatal virus on wild cats that roam the outback, killing birds, native animals, and so forth. He called for a law requiring pet cats to be neutered so they cannot breed and eventually will die out. Until then, a cat registry. You've got to register your cat. And cat curfews. Now, how do you put a curfew on a cat? Should be put in place. He said, quote, I'm calling for the total eradication of cats in Australia, end quote. He told Parliament that while cats may be playful and affectionate around their owners, they are killing machines when out on the prowl in suburbia. Evans blamed cats for the extinction of at least 9 native species. So he wishes to unleash a virus that will kill all cats. And I've got a big problem with this. We live in the days of international travel, air travel. And people are going back and forth, and business and commerce is going on all over the world, and I can feature easily this cat virus getting loose and killing all the cats in the world. Now, I suppose a lot of people who don't like cats wouldn't mind that happening. But what do you think of the idea of unleashing a virus that would literally kill all the cats in one country? Do you think it could be safely... I mean, I don't live in Australia. I don't like the idea of them killing all their cats, but I don't live there. And so if it was contained in Australia, that would be one thing. The question is, do you think it can be contained to Australia? All right, what I'm going to do is open the lines. We're going to have an open line kind of night tonight. Anything you want to talk about, anything at all, is fair game. Last night we devoted to the incredible, terrifying fires in the Southland. And I'm sure we'll get more reports tonight. So if you wish to update us, that is fine. Would love to get an update. If you want to talk about anything else, you certainly are welcome to do that. Deformed frogs now in Texas. I've got a fax here from a man who found 2 deformed frogs down in Texas. Unfortunately, his dog ate them both. It's not a joke. He really did find them. But his dog, his Rottweiler, gulped them down, and so they're not available for evidence. Otherwise, we'd be reading a real story about deformed frogs in Texas. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Mr. Bell, please.
Yes, sir. That's me.
Yes, sir. I'd like to talk about Flight 800.
All right. What do you want to say about it?
Well, Mr. Bell, you had a guest on Dr. Richard Hoagland.
Yes.
Correct.
Correct.
And he talked about a friendly missile.
Yes.
And now I hear that there's something about a implosion from the airplane itself.
Well, mechanical failure.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh huh. Which kind of throws that theory out of the right.
I don't know. I don't think they've decided on anything absolutely yet. Have you heard they have?
No, I have not.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying that the last time I heard, I listen to the show as often as I can. I work days, so it comes down in my area very late at night. But the last thing I heard was that it was a mechanical failure, which blows Dr. Hoagland's theory out of the water, correct?
No.
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 Why not?
Well, they did not announce the absolute cause. They just announced they are now thinking. How does it blow anybody's theory out of the water?
Well, it was the...
In other words, until they determine the actual cause, when they issue a story, sir, that says they think or they're leaning toward, that should be register in your mind as different than... This is the cause. You see what I'm saying?
Correct.
Okay. So no theories are blown out the window. As far as I know, all theories are still alive.
But the friendly missile theory, which was Dr. Hoagland's original idea, I believe.
It's not a doctor, just Richard Hoagland. Yes.
Didn't you refer to him as Dr. Hoagland?
No, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You did.
Okay. I'm okay. I'll stand corrected.
To answer your question, no, it doesn't blow anybody's theory. Until they determine what the actual cause was, sir, everything is still possible.
So what is your thinking then? Where do you stand?
I am not a...
You're not curious?
I'm not an investigator, so
okay.
I really don't know. Do you have a theory?
Do I have a theory? My personal theory?
Yes.
Well, apparently at one time we thought that there was something in the airplane, the aircraft itself, that set it off.
Well, that could be a bomb. That could be a mechanical problem.
Okay. Well, you must have a theory. What do you think?
Why must I have a theory?
Well, I'm not saying you must have a theory, but you must have some idea.
Do you demand that I have a theory?
Do I demand it? No, I don't.
Good. That's
I'm
good.
I'm just asking your personal insight.
I do a talk show, and I don't investigate aircraft accidents. There are people doing good, scientific, hard work on all of this, and I'm sure that eventually we will get some kind of an answer. I hope
yes,
so.
And you've had those people on your air.
Well, I also have Major Dames on who said that it was a mechanical problem, but you probably didn't hear that show.
Well, so which way do you lean?
Goodbye, sir. I'm afraid that for you or for anybody else, I don't lean in any direction at all. I also saw the NBC picture of what was purported to be a missile, and there were 150, 200 people who thought they saw a missile. Now they say that could have been a fuel trail that first went down and then burned from the bottom up toward the airplane and made it look like a trail of a missile. Mechanical problems, a bomb, a missile, I don't know. Any of the above are possible. And I don't think I'd care to venture a guess, because that's all it would be.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 22nd of October, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the best talk radio in the nighttime. No brag, just fact. We're the best. And it's because all of all of you, and I want you to know I appreciate it. Here's another bumper sticker for you. Art, the American electorate is saying, of all the low-down, dirty, rotten, sleazy deals, I like yours best. Remember the bumper sticker last week? Why vote for the lesser of the evils? Vote for Satan. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. Let me just turn my radio down.
Oh, that's a good. Tell us where you are.
I'm in Santa Monica, California.
Santa Monica.
I was just wondering, you know, you talk about the Philadelphia experiment, and some of your listeners, like myself, aren't familiar. We're kind of young, and would you mind just giving me a brief overview? I just caught some tidbits. And just...
Holy mackerel. That would be really hard. They made two movies, The Philadelphia Experiment and The Philadelphia Experiment 2. It was an experiment alleged to, during the Second World War, try to make a ship disappear.
Okay, so is it kind of like Mad Markham?
A different scale, but the same idea.
Okay.
Like Madman Markham, yes.
And they were using energy forces to do it?
They were using magnetic fields, extremely strong magnetic and rotating RF fields to affect this, yes. Mm-hmm.
And they just the last question is, like, what was the end result, supposedly?
Well, it depends on what you believe. I would recommend you go out and rent a movie, The Original Philadelphia Experiment.
Okay,
thank you. All right? Right, thank you. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
I'm doing.
Good. Hey, the deal with the cows, it was chupacabras.
Now, how do you know that?
Well,
you don't.
Sounds like it to me.
You mean down in Chico? You mean Chico?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't appear to have been humans.
Yep, that's what I think. The Randy Weaver deal, that was a setup to begin with. That's my opinion on that.
I always thought so, too.
And, hey, how about some Fast Blast tonight?
Maybe later.
Yeah, we don't hear that anymore. I miss it.
Well, it's when I get in the mood.
Okay.
All right?
You're doing good, Art.
Right.
Thanks.
Thank you for the call, sir. I always said that I felt the Weaver situation would end with indictments, and people always told me, no, they've got the fixes in, you know. And that was so clearly what it was, and a setup that I really did think it would end that way, and so it would seem it will. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Turn your radio off, please.
Well, what do you think's going on with all these white supremacists?
What do I think is going on with them?
Yes, sir.
They think the white race is superior.
Yeah, but, I mean, do you think that they're going to try to overtake the country?
No.
No?
No. Are you a white supremacist, sir?
No, I'm not.
Are you worried that they're going to take over the country?
Well, I'm a little concerned about it. They've been caught in all these places, blowing up in Oklahoma City, and they seem to be very determined.
Okay. I asked you to turn off your radio there, sir.
Yes, sir.
Would you please?
Okay, it's off.
That's good. Somehow it came back on.
Yes.
It must be a different kind of radio. So, you're worried they may take over?
Well, I don't think it's possible, but they sure can cause a lot of trouble.
Well, they are doing that. They are a very small, horrible little minority, and I don't think they're going to take over anything, sir.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
Right, take care. But they may march around in fatigues. They may blow up something hither and yon, but in terms of white supremacists taking over America, no, I'm not worried about that. Are you? Wild Card Line, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, okay, have you heard of flammable drinking water?
No, and I don't know that I want to. Flammable drinking water.
Yeah, well, I just saw it on the news real fast.
Where?
I'm Rob, and I'm in Springfield, Illinois. just basically, it was a news flash, and it's just a flammable drinking water, and they were holding a lighter to it, and it was on fire.
Oh, no.
Cool,
Did they happen to say where it was?
No, I was hoping maybe you had heard about it or heard something about it, you know.
No, I it's a good experiment for people to try, though. If your water ignites, gee, I'd, you need a filtering system.
Yeah?
At the very least. I can see it now. Reservoirs catching fire all over America.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. You never know. Okay, one more thing. Did you know, everything that's in your newsletter, you ought to put on your webpage if you really want to get the information out to everybody.
Well, we're doing the best we can, sir.
It's just an idea. And one last little quick thing. Have you ever heard, there's a band called Dead Can Dance. Yeah, I know you did the reverse speech.
Yes.
And he used his children to, you know, do the backwards stuff with the kids and to see what it sounded like. The band, what they do is the lady, it's great moody music for your show, first of all, but the lady sings in kind of a gibberish, and she uses her babies as an influence sometimes.
Really?
And, yeah, it's real strange music. Just check it out. Dead Can Dance.
Dead Can Dance.
Yeah.
Sounds like my kind of music. All right, sir, thank you. Dead Can Dance. Flammable drinking water. Now, that's a new one. Has anybody else out there seen a story on flammable drinking water? Well, you know, I haven't tried putting a match to mine. Y'all might try it out there. I mean, do it safely, of course. Get a little tin and put some water in and see if it torches up. Bad sign. If your water burns, that's certainly a bad sign. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art Bell.
That's me, all right.
Hey.
Hey.
Rusty in Kansas City.
Yes, sir.
You're blacked out here tonight.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we got a snowstorm, man, and we cannot get you here.
Well, I heard that there had been a massive snowstorm in Kansas City. How much snow is on the ground?
We got about 6 inches, 6 to 8 inches, depending on where you're at.
Well, that's a lot of snow in Kansas City. So what's KCMO doing?
Well, they're running one of your dreamland that you had just before you went on your last vacation here.
Well, you know what happens? The satellite dishes fill up with snow. And when they do, they are no longer dish-shaped any longer, electrically. In other words, the snow acts as a reflector, and they don't work.
Well, I was trying to catch you here on another one, and I'm catching you out of San Antonio.
WOAI.
Okay, but it does not seem that I'm hearing the same program as I just clicked in, and you were still talking. I just flipped my radio.
Well, we have a delay system, sir.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So you were just talking to a gentleman about a group that sings the Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
I had a couple quick things I wanted to throw out at you. One, I called you about a year or so ago on one of your fast tracks.
Yes.
And said that the quickening was the Earth's reaction to the blemishes of man.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty much right on, I believe.
Yeah. Two things that I wanted to ask you, or one thing I wanted to ask you about, and the other one is I wanted to comment on. One was, is Miss Linda Howe that you have on Sunday nights, I don't get to hear Dreamland each Sunday. I'm trying to get me a real talk.
Right.
She talks about the cattle mutilation.
Yes.
And you talked about some of those cattle mutilations. I wanted to know, or if you could ask her, has she ever correlated or done any study on the cattle mutilations along with the Texas that are back in Leviticus and Exodus that were sacrifices mandated by the Lord?
All right. Well, I will ask her that.
Okay.
All right.
And the other one was, is Dark Skies.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Oh, it was on again this last Saturday because the World Series got washed out.
Right. Did you also, I wanted to throw a little something at you about that and ask your audience about this. The thing that I'm getting from this is that the Greys are sort of infesting humans to cause dismay among the planet to where you might be easier for them to come and take over, since they may not have such a military force?
Well, I'm not sure that you can conclude exactly that yet, but it does look as though it's going that way, doesn't it?
Right. I want this was just, this is a little off the edge here.
All right, last item.
I wanted to ask you about this that concerns that Dark Sky. Did you see Louis Farrakhan on Ted Koppel?
No, but I heard all about it. Thank you very much. I heard all about it. I know what he said. I know what Ted said, and so I'm very familiar with it all. Farrakhan is an interesting person. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Ken in Las Vegas.
Hi, Ken.
Yeah, I really enjoy your show. I haven't talked to you in a while. Here's a good topic to choose for your show. Did you watch Frontline tonight?
No.
Okay. The title for Frontline was Why Do Americans Hate the Press? Yeah, that was the title. And a lot of possible reasons is because the mainstream media, especially those in Washington, D.C., are believed to be more of a society group, high society group, and more of sort of an intellectual high society group that is...
The intellectual elite is what you're trying to say.
Intellectual elite, mm-hmm. Ivory Tower. And my question to you, since you're also, you know, you're a major member of the media, do you think the media elite, the Washington, D.C. type media, you know, the major networks, do you think the media elite are out of touch with the needs, with the concerns of the people? In other words...
No, I don't think it is the job of the media to be in touch with the needs of the people. That is the job of our politicians. They are definitely out of touch. The media is hated for many reasons. I don't hate the media. I don't necessarily praise the media, but I think they do an okay job for the most part. I watch most of the major media, read most major newspapers, and I think they do a pretty good job myself. I think a lot of the so-called hatred comes from the fact that a lot of the people disagree with whatever is being said in whatever major media. They disagree with it, so they hate it. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, sir. Is this Art Bell?
Good guess. I'm the only one here.
Oh. Well, I'm calling. I'm on the East Coast, and I've never heard your program before.
Where are you?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Well, I'm out here in the middle of the desert.
I'm just curious. I don't believe I've heard a talk show host with such arrogance and such patronizing rudeness to callers who are just kind of innocent callers and calling in. What is your problem?
Who are you referring to?
Well, everyone you've spoken to. The poor guy who called about the airliner being down.
Yes.
And he,
he asked me. I believe he asked me, sir, if the... if this latest statement didn't blow Richard Hoagland's theory out of the water. And I said no, because it was not a determination. It simply is how they are leaning. Now, where did you detect rudeness in that?
Oh, well, I thought that that was a reasonable response. But when the poor guy said it was a doctor so-and-so, and you said, well, I thought he was a doctor, and he said, no, sir.
He is not a doctor. That is correct.
Well, as if there's something wrong with the guy. You could simply... The idea there was that you were so rude to him. As far as the rest of the conversation...
No, I corrected him. I said he is not a doctor. Richard Hoagland, indeed, is not a doctor, medical or otherwise, has no doctorate, and so the title is inappropriate.
Well, yeah, I can understand that, but...
Well, where do you see rudeness in that?
Well, I don't think there was a case for putting the guy down.
I didn't. Sir, I didn't. I did not. I simply corrected him.
Yeah, and then on the Randy Weaver thing, after you told the guy that you didn't offer opinions about these things, then you turn right around and say, you know, my opinion has always been about the Randy Weaver case. It was thus and so.
That is correct.
Yeah, but you know, you put down the first guy the second time.
No, I didn't put him down. I did not put anybody down, sir. I corrected him. That's it.
And then when it came to the guy who was calling about the white supremacists,
Yes.
You were rude and patronizing to the poor guy. You know, he was just.
He asked me whether I thought the white supremacists were going to take over the country, and I said no.
Yeah, I felt that.
In what way do you see rudeness there?
Well, it's your tone and your spirit, Rod. Mr. Bell. You give the impression that somehow an innocent question is a stupid thing to do. You know,
well, I'm sorry you take it that way. I didn't feel that way about it. You took it that way, apparently. I don't feel that way about it.
No, coming across. You also, on the question about the web page, the fellow just asked a simple question. Sir, we're doing the best we can.
That's what I said.
As if he didn't think you were.
We probably have more information out, newsletter-wise and on the web, than anybody I know of, as a matter of fact.
Well, yeah, but I mean, all you have to do is tell him that in a nice way.
Even I thought I did.
Comment about Farrakhan, the poor guy simply, you cut him off.
You're incredible.
Yeah, you're incredible. First time I've ever heard you, but I was just tuning in, and I thought, holy smokes, I don't know what this guy's problem is, but he's going to put down everybody who calls. That's a way of insulting everyone. So I don't believe I'll be tuning in anymore.
Well, in that case, have a good night.
Yes, good night.
See you later. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning. I was wondering if you could please explain the Electoral College.
The Electoral College?
Yes.
The Electoral College is kind of a way for those who have participated in the party politics of getting a candidate elected to go to Washington and celebrate their victory. And, of course, they cast what is more of a ceremonial vote than anything else. And generally it follows what the electorate has done in the popular vote. But it's pretty much a way for the people who participated, you know, at the top to go and celebrate their victory.
Okay. For some reason, I thought that the Electoral College was what elected the president.
Well, there are people who feel that way, that it is technically that way. But it's really not, and they really do follow the electorate. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, they could go and do one thing after the electorate has done something else. But I've never seen that happen.
Okay.
So that's the best I can do.
Okay, Art, thank you.
Right, take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Quick little comic anecdote here. On our local news, one of the anchor persons closed out her story last evening by saying Bob Dole remains beat up despite his campaign woes. And then she corrected herself and said, I mean upbeat.
And Freud in there somewhere, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, kind of a Freudian reverse speech, maybe.
Maybe so, coming out the front way. Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of humorous, and I wanted to share that with you.
Remains beat up. Huh?
Remains beat up.
Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hey, this is John from Evansville, Indiana.
Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm fine.
Hey, I heard that guy giving you trouble a second ago.
Yeah, he did it the other night, too.
Hey, can I give him a little message?
Sure.
Yeah. Hey, we don't want to hear you on here. This is valuable airwaves, buddy.
Well, he may have noticed when he came on, nobody screened his call. Nobody kept him from going on the air, nor did I prevent him from saying what he wanted to say. If he's much of a talk show listener, then he would appreciate what that means. Apparently he isn't, and apparently he just wants to get me. This is the second time he called. He called the other night, too. I'm beginning to get used to it.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's like your talk show, we're listening, and he's on there whining. But, I was wanting to tell you something. I saw a license plate the other day, and it said, what did that say about Art Bell? It's like a bumper sticker.
Really?
And it said something about voting, and it was like, I think somebody made it themselves in a print shop. And it said, don't vote, but none of the above.
None of the above.
It said the Art Bell Party, none of the above.
Yep, well...
You got a movement.
That's what
you're
I'm doing.
You're revolutionary.
I'm, well, yeah, but see, not every state has that option. Here in Nevada, we have that option.
Yeah.
So, for president, I will vote none of the above, but I will vote for Congress. And I think right now there's a national movement to do exactly that that I began hearing about this week. In other words, it's pretty obvious now that President Clinton is going to be reelected. And if we're smart, what we're going to do is to ensure there's a Republican check in Congress and see to it that continues for the next 4 years. And believe it or not, we will survive it, sir.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, hey, why don't you take one of those cruises down here to Indiana?
Is that where you are?
Yeah, Evansville, Indiana. We get you out of a station in Kentucky across the river.
Well,
we got a little riverboat casino.
Yeah, I was going to say, though, sir.
Cruise down here and ride around and see all the sights here.
Oh, you do have a riverboat. I was going to say, otherwise, cruising to Indiana would require more than an icebreaker.
Oh, yeah.
All right, thank you very much for the call. We're going to break here at the top of the hour, and we'll be right back with more.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Frontier Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 22nd, 1996.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. I'm Art Bell, and it's open lines tonight, still monitoring the fire situation in Southern California. So we're not going to endeavor to have a guest this evening, just in case. And we'll sort of just let it drift and go where you want it to go. One absolutely fascinating poll taken after the first debate is as follows. Who do you consider to be more honest, Dole or Clinton? Answer, Dole, 50%, over 50% actually, Clinton around 30%, or a third. Immediately following that, the second question, who would you vote for? Answer, Dole, 28%, less than a third. Clinton, 58%, just about two-thirds. So in other words, he's not honest, but we're going to vote for him. Now I want you to think about that a little bit, not as it relates to the two men, as it relates to those who answered the survey. Are you still drinking tap water? Well, you deserve better. I had somebody call last hour and say something about seeing a story, I think it was in Indiana, about flammable tap water. Have any of you tried to put a match to your water? Yikes! The following is from Pete and Kathy. This is cute. There were once two weevils. One went to the big city and became a lawyer. The other stayed home and thus became the lesser of two weevils. Weston Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art Bell.
Yes, hi.
Hi there. I'm a grandmother from Portland, Oregon.
A grandma from Portland. All right.
Right. And I went down and saw you when you and your wife were here.
Oh, at the book signing.
That was fantastic. I never saw such a wonderful group of people.
It was.
That stood for 6 hours.
I know. It was mind-boggling.
It was. And by the time I got up to have you sign for me, I felt that you looked like a zombie.
Well, you know, oh. I did the all-night program.
Then
without sleep, I flew to Portland and signed books from, I think, 12:30 in the afternoon to about 8:30 at night.
Right.
So you're right. I was a zombie.
I saw you at 8 o'clock, and you two were just wonderful to the public.
We were like wet noodles at that point.
It was great. I have two things to mention. The flammable water.
Oh, yes.
In Washington State, a year or two ago, I heard on the news where they had built a park over a landfill.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the gases underneath in the ground, when they turned the water fountain on, they had flammable water.
Not good.
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I heard. Another thing, right here in Portland, somebody has come up with the idea, because of the drugs and the young folks, they ought to drug test the young folks when they go in for a driver's license.
Mm.
And that's okay. That's fine. But why not test everybody if they're going to test just the young folks?
Well, I'll tell you why. I think why. It's probably because of the Fourth Amendment. In other words, they probably figure constitutionally they can get away with it when it's a minor. But
really?
Constitutionally, they probably cannot get away with it when it's a somebody who's, become 21, age of consent.
Is that so?
That's just a guess.
Okay. Well, it just seemed unfair to me that they would do it to the young folks and not others, because there's a lot of young adults that...
Well, I've got... All right, let me try this out on you. If they were to test everybody who went to get a driver's license... How many drivers, percentage-wise, do you think would immediately be off the road?
50%.
That'd lighten up some of the traffic jams, wouldn't it?
It would. It would. It'd clean our environment a little bit, our air, right?
Well, it might. Thank you very much for the call. And maybe some of that flammable water could be used to power some of the cars out there. Heat some of the homes out there. So I suppose it's not a total downside. Still, you don't want to think of your drinking water as something that would
catch fire. Not good. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello? No, you would have been. Let's make it the first time caller line. You're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Good morning.
Greetings from Duluth, Minnesota.
Yes.
Dave here.
Glad to have you.
This is the coolest thing that's happened to me in a long time.
Well, really?
Got a update on the frogs.
Okay.
The Minneapolis paper reported today that the deformities are due to a parasite.
Well, no, I've got that story. They think that's one possibility, something to do with a snake parasite or something. But they don't know that for sure that that's a cause either. That kind of goes into the hopper now with pollution, the ozone, all the other things they think might be possible.
The main thing I wanted to point out was up in this neck of the woods, what with the seaway,
yes,
and the ocean shipping that comes up to Duluth, we've had a lot of problems with things kind of piggybacking their way into our ecosystem and
sure.
Causing problems and such.
Well, that's why I
guess we can only hope that nothing hitches a ride that develops a taste for human beings.
Well, see, that's why I'm a little concerned about the plans in Australia to let loose a virus to kill all the cats now.
Mm-hmm.
Fine if it's just Australia. It's their country. I guess they can do what they want. But what makes us think it will stay in Australia?
Yeah, it's you get messing around with things, and you never know where it's going to backfire. Can I tell you a funny kitty story?
Sure.
A little lighter note after that kind of cranky guy there a couple minutes ago.
Oh, well, that's on you. Hey, listen.
Although I will say you handle it pretty well, you know.
Well, listen.
Anyway, I got these two beautiful cats. One's a big old chubby male, and one's this sleek, beautiful Angora, all white and fluffy.
Oh, yes.
And I never let them go outside because there's too many things up in this neck of the woods that would like to munch on them, shall we say.
Good on you.
But one day they got out, and the old tomcat came to the rescue of the little girl. There was this predator bird diving down on her.
Wow.
Yeah. And I wouldn't think that this guy could punch his way out of a wet paper bag, but there he was, fending off this
big bird?
Big hawk.
Big bird. Well, look, they're fighting for their lives, cornered. That's what they do. You know.
Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you, sir, for the call. And with respect to the cranky caller a little while ago, it's all right. Don't let it bother you all. It does not bother me. I'm used to it over the last 13 years now of doing this program. I've had lots of them, and I include them in. As far as I'm concerned, talk radio should be free, open, unlimited, and those who want to come along and take a shot at me are perfectly welcome to do it. I don't mind a bit. That's part of what Open Lines is all about. And if it's not, then it's not Open Lines. And I happen to believe in it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, hello, Art. This is your old friend, Dorothy.
Hi, Dorothy.
Formerly from the land of Oz, now
oh, yes.
From the land of make-believe.
That would be us, I guess.
Right.
Right.
Listen, you know, with the guests that you've had on, that makes three that are predicting 3.5 years, 3 years, and I know of a fourth source that's saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The most logical to me to put up for election at this time is Charlton Heston and Steven Spielberg. They're asking those other turkeys all the wrong questions. Now, Charlton, all he has to do is walk off that mountaintop, and everybody will take notice.
Did you know I interviewed Charlton?
Did you?
Yes.
He's a marvelous person.
Yes, he is.
And he's very astute in politics.
Yes, he is.
Right. Oh, by the way, on your chupacabra.
Yes.
I think I might have a picture of one.
Oh, I want it.
Well, let me finish. It was dug up in Mexico back in the 40s.
Wow.
And it is a statue, and I have the original pictures.
Well, you have the pictures of the statue,
right?
or of the creature?
The statues.
Oh, I need a picture of the creature.
Okay, I have shown this picture to some local folk here who are from close by the area where this came from, and they says, That's a chupacabra.
Well, you send it along.
I will do that. When are you going to have Daryl Sims on again?
Daryl Sims.
Mm-hmm, from Houston.
Well, one of these days, we'll have him on again.
Okie doke.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dorothy. Take care. And send it along. You know me. If it's good, I'll put it up there on the web and share it with everybody. We've got a lot of stuff up on the web right now. Really, really, really good stuff. So if you have not visited the web page in a while, I suggest you get up there and take a look. I mean, it's just all new. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, hello, Art.
Hello, sir.
It's Matt from Idaho.
Hi, Matt.
The new leader of the FLF.
What is that?
The Fluffy Liberation Front. Somebody do something about that poor cat.
Yeah.
Hey, you were talking about you didn't know if anybody mummified anybody anymore.
Now, I had to remind the audience, he refers to Fluffy, a cat who died and then was mummified and was hung out on the porch of this admitted cat-hating guy.
Yes.
And then we started talking about mummified people for some reason, so that's the background.
There was a, I don't know if they're still in business or not, but a place down in Salt Lake City did it. We're doing it. They had the... you could buy the Egyptian, like, sarcophagus thing, the whole bit, whole nine yards. But anyway, there is hope for anybody who wants to be a mummy. Also, have you ever had a chance to read Peter Arnett's book, From Vietnam to Baghdad?
No.
35 Years of Reporting from the War Zones? Fascinating book.
I have learned, though, over the years, when you finally see Peter Arnett take up residence on top of a building in a city, then you can be sure that it's going to be bombed within 24 hours.
Oh, absolutely. He'd be a fascinating guest.
He would. Yes, he would.
Oh, my goodness. The stories are just unbelievable.
I'd love to ask him about the baby milk factory.
His book, that's the thing, everybody was giving Peter Arnett a hard time over there during, the Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
How he was sympathizing and all this. And he gives his side, he gives his side of the story very well in that.
No, he would be a very, very good interview.
And he maintains it was a baby milk factory there.
Well.
But, it was like he was saying, you've got thousands of bombs dropping, and I think, it's pretty unrealistic to think that somebody's going to, they're going to hit something that maybe they shouldn't have hit.
Again, as far as war is concerned, Peter Arnett is like the canary that you take down into the mines,
He is.
I appreciate your call, sir. I'd love to interview Peter Arnett. He'd be a good one. But the minute you ever see Peter Arnett, know that, on CNN, standing on top of a building or rushed over to report from some city, soon, the bombs will fall in that city, whatever it is. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
All right. How you doing from Dole Country?
I'm doing all right.
This, hey, I got to tell
Actually, sir, this is not Dole Country. I know. I saw a map the other day that showed the states leaning toward Clinton, leaning toward Dole, and those that were in the middle. And Nevada was shown as one that was kind of in the middle.
Well, I'm sure that that map was in the liberal media. The same liberal media which when Dan Quayle said that potato was spelled with an E on the end, which, by the way, is one of the two accepted spellings within the English language, they harped on him for weeks on end.
No, they ruined him.
But yet last week, when Bill Clinton... stated a part of the Gettysburg Address and called it the Constitution, not one word was said in the liberal media about
What did he quote from the Gettysburg Address?
I forget which line it was. I forget which it was right now. But it's an egregious error. But what more can you expect from somebody who has such an abiding disrespect for the Constitution? Such an admitted anti-constitutionalist as Bill Clinton. He's against the whole Bill of Rights. I mean, not just the First Amendment, not just the Second Amendment, the Fourth, the Fifth, the Ninth.
Really?
God knows the Tenth. I mean, this man is poison to America. If he is reelected, Bob Dornan is going to submit 100 articles for impeachment. The road to impeachment will begin if this crook is reelected, and I don't think he will be.
All right, thank you. I think he will be. I don't think you can call him a crook until he is convicted of a crime, which he has not been, except in your mind. I believe he is going to be reelected, so I predict that. I predict the House will hold a Republican majority, barely, and I'm not as sure of that one. The Senate will remain Republican, in my opinion. And within a year after the reelection of Bill Clinton, he will begin to face serious, very serious, legal problems. And what the caller just said about Bob Dornan or others eventually may come true. It is nothing to wish for. An impeachment, the impeachment of a U.S. president is a horrible, horrible thing to occur to a nation. Horrible. And it is possible down line. It certainly is possible. I was alive and following the Watergate business. And, of course, had President Nixon not resigned, there would have been the process of impeachment. It had already begun. And if you think we're in a mess now, politically, those of you who can remember accurately and memories fade, this nation was right on the edge. Right on the edge. An impeachment is a horrible thing. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. What's going on, man?
You.
Hey. Just wanted to comment on the fires in California.
Yes.
I think it's a pretty bad thing that's going on. I used to live out there.
It's horrible.
I live in Oklahoma and just wondered how my buddies up in Fallbrook are doing. Wish they'd call in and let me know. And got a couple friends out there in San Marcos, too.
Is that where you are now?
No, I'm out here in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
This is Sean. They'll know who I am. I'll just wanted to say that and have them call in.
Okay, Sean, thank you. San Marcos is in pretty rough shape, actually. And the fires continue. Last I've heard, about 10% containment. It's all going to depend on the wind, and thankfully it has let up some. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I wanted to, the line that was misquoted was, of the people, by the people, for the people.
Oh, okay.
And I was in California in September, and I was visiting my daughter reading the San Francisco Chronicle. And on page A1, this paper was dated Monday, September 9th.
Okay.
It was an article that a pilot for an American Airlines jet had told the FAA that he had seen a missile.
That's right.
Off the wing of his plane.
That's correct.
And that the NASA was investigating this. Have we ever heard anything further about that?
Nary a word. I read the same article you did. It was unrelated geographically and time-wise to the situation in New York.
Correct.
But you are correct. And no, I have heard no follow-up to it. But I am aware of the article.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, the last thing as a pilot that you want to do is look out your window and see a missile.
Right. Going off your wing. Well, I have from the very beginning believed that there was a missile involved, one type or another. And I just wonder why this did not make national news.
Well, probably because the investigation is not complete. But you're right. It's going to be interesting to see what they come up with.
Well, nice talking to you. I hope we find an answer.
Take care. So do I. I hope for all our sakes that we eventually get an answer to what did happen. And I would not pretend to know nor guess what happened. I've got what purports to be a photograph of a missile. That was up on the website for a long, long time. People had a very mixed reaction to it, a photograph taken at a party on Long Island, and they think it might have been a missile. Or it could have been a bomb, or it could have been mechanical trouble. They are presently leaning toward mechanical trouble. There has been no absolute determination made yet. I repeat, no determination made yet. We'll be right back.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
If I was walking in your shoes, I wouldn't worry none. While you and your friends are worried about me, I'm having lots of fun. Counting flowers on the wall. That don't...
take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Open lines all night long tonight. Whatever you want to talk about, it's up to you. We'll just let it sort of bounce all over the place. Hi, Art. A feline plague in Australia could catapult with C-A-T and catapult underlined to the U.S. be a catalyst to ending our feline population and be a catastrophe to feline owners and put them in a catatonic state. Also, has anything new come in on the internet from Major Dames yet? Well, Major Dames, as you know, gave a very specific and detailed explanation of what he thought occurred to Flight 800. And as you probably know, the latest thinking, not proclamation, because there has been none yet, regarding what they think might have happened with Flight 800, matches precisely what Major Dame said, for the record. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been telling you, my heart just goes, woo, I don't know. You're just dialing and dialing.
Where are you calling from?
Oklahoma City.
All right.
And I wanted to ask you, I missed the night with Chuck Carter. Can you, like, sum it up in five words or something, what happened? I know you probably don't want to.
He's back on the air. That's five words?
Okay.
I think he's on Talk America 2, what's called Talk America 2, and he went back on the air 2 days ago.
Okay, well, and I got your crank radio, and I love it.
Oh, you got one of the Beijing radios.
Yep.
Aren't they hot?
Yes.
Isn't that an amazing thing?
Yep.
Yeah, it absolutely is amazing. That thing just runs and runs and runs and runs.
Yeah, and I've told a lot of people about it.
Good for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks.
Thank you, and take care. I think that's five words. He's back on the air. Yes, five. And that was about 2 days ago, I believe. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Czar Bell?
It is.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I'm Ed, calling from Evansville, Indiana.
Hi, Ed.
Yeah, I want to talk about the guy that was talking about earlier about the flammable drinking water.
Oh, yeah, flammable drinking water. Just what we need.
No such thing in this town, bud.
That's good.
We got the best drinking water probably in the whole county and the whole country.
And I'm sure you'd like to keep it that way.
Well, we will keep it that way.
There you go.
This is a good, clean town.
Ah, boy, what also, a horrible idea, putting a match to your drinking water and seeing it flame.
The guy, I think he's flaming himself.
Could be.
Also, the main reason I wanted to call, I want to talk about Bob Dole.
All right.
The man, you know, the man has devoted his whole life for this country.
Yes, he has.
And, you know, I mean, what else can you say? What else does a president make, okay?
What else does a president make?
Yes.
You mean...
I meant that way, okay? I mean, what else does make a president?
Ah.
You know, the man, I mean, you know, you don't hear anything about any kind of scandals against him. He's a lawyer. The man fought for his country, spent 3 years in hospital, came out, devoted his whole life to this country.
Why do you think he is so far behind in the polls?
Why do I think?
Yes, sir.
I think too many people don't really rely on their instincts and don't look enough into a candidate to really figure out who the man is. And they rely on TV and network TV,
mm-hmm.
as far as ABC, CBS, and NBC.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a very big bias. And I know there's all kinds of newspapers and there are all kinds of different media and all that, but most people, there's all kinds of polls that also say that most people do get their news from TV and they believe what they see on TV.
That is true.
And I think it's a shame.
Well, I appreciate your call, sir, and we'll see what others have to say. So you think that people are taking their cue from the media? it is true that more people than not get their news from the media, from the major media. What do you think? What do the rest of you think? The tact taken by the Dole campaign of late has been to attack the president with regard to the donations made by the Indonesian company, Lippo. Do you think? Why do you think that is not getting traction as an issue, and why the polls continue to widen for Bill Clinton? Why do you think that is? Do you share that gentleman's belief that it is the media? First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, good evening, Art Bell.
Yes, sir.
Yes, this is Al calling from Victoria, BC, Canada.
Hi, Al.
Listening from KKOH.
Oh, Reno. It's got a big signal going north.
I get a much better signal from that than the local KOMO because of the skip zone.
That's exactly right. There is a skip zone.
Anyway, I just thought I'd mention, since you people are in an election coming up, my experience with election, and that is your vote counts, because we had a municipal election here a few years ago, and my man lost by one vote, and I didn't vote.
And so you blame yourself then?
That's right.
Well, I guess under those circumstances, there would be nobody else you could blame.
That's right. Another comment I'd like to make, I just might be crazy enough to reserve myself the penthouse suite on your up-and-coming trip, Art.
Oh, you would be crazy. I would love to be in that penthouse. Have you seen pictures of the penthouse on that ship?
No, sir. I just got the brochure today. So.
Holy Jehoshaphats. Wait till you see the photographs of that. Fit for a king. Well, look, I'll look for you one way or the other, penthouse or bottom of the ship, either way.
Okay, sir.
All right, take care. Yeah, the penthouse. They have a penthouse on that ship that you would not believe. But I think there's only one of them. And he says he's going to grab it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Bill in Portland.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah, I was listening to Rush this morning, and he was talking about somebody from the Democratic Party was saying that Medicare is going to go bankrupt within 4 years, and they want to get together with the Republicans and cut it more than the Republicans say they are.
Well... I guess I've got to say this. I have pretty much stopped believing proclamations about our deficit, our debt, Medicare, Medicaid, where that's going to take us, and a lot of other things. I don't believe either side, my friend.
And, you know, I really get mad that they keep talking about they cut the deficit, and they don't talk about how much our country is in debt.
No, they don't.
And that is the big problem here.
Yes, sir, it is. And what's going to get us a few years out is going to be the debt, and nobody even uttered those words.
That's right. They need to bring that up.
Well, they certainly do, and that accounts for a lot of my disgust with both candidates and, frankly, both parties.
A lot of people I talk to don't even know the difference between the deficit and the debt.
I know.
And that's just a shame.
I know, and the Clinton administration has served up, you know, they have, in fact, cut the deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not bad, it's good, but the American people have been lulled into believing that means the debt situation is under control. All it means is we're piling on to the debt at roughly half the rate we were.
Yep, exactly.
I appreciate your call.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, and I don't know what we're going to do about that. There seems no way to reasonably correct that misimpression. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
This is Brett calling from Ohio.
Yes, sir.
Two things I want to cover with you. I want to agree with the guy that called about a half hour ago criticizing Clinton. I believe that Bill Clinton wants to take away our constitutional rights, and I believe we're going to see him in the second term do it very aggressively.
Well, the way to be doggone sure that he does not do it is to ensure there is a Republican Congress to go with the reelection of the president, which I'm convinced is going to occur.
Yeah, but you know, the one problem we got, though, is that most Republicans are going along with Newt Gingrich, and I'm not too sure that he's that much better. They passed this bill 3610 that, well, you're familiar with it. You talked about it one night.
Oh, I sure did.
Yeah, and you have to wonder about Newt Gingrich, too.
Well, sir, I'm wondering of late about both parties, and
right.
not too happy with either one.
Don't
but I'm a practical person, and I have concluded Bill Clinton is indeed going to be reelected, so I'm voting a Republican Congress.
Yeah, yeah.
That is our best hope.
Right, right. Another thing I wanted to cover with you real quick is Robert Morning's guy. He now has a program on shortwave, and I thought maybe some of your listeners would be interested in knowing about it. He's
sure.
He's on 9.955 at 5 p.m. in the afternoon.
5 p.m. Universal?
No, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm sorry.
Eastern Time, all right.
Yeah, that'd be 2 p.m. on the West Coast.
Oh, I'm going to have to check it out. 9.955, huh?
Yeah, 9.955.
I'll check it out.
And one thing that I thought was very interesting that I didn't hear him mention the three times that he was on your show is that he doesn't believe that the aliens are the visiting this planet are benevolent, and he says he has been trying to shut up by the rest of the UFO community.
Well, there's a great debate going on about that. Thank you, and great debate going on about that, and I don't know the answer to it either. I am not convinced either way. I do believe there is a great probability that we are being visited. And I've had guests on that have thought they were benign and here to help us out and help us along and all the rest of it. Others who think these are not such nice guys. And I really haven't made up my mind yet. Maybe both are out there. I have no idea. But I wouldn't leap to any conclusion. We've got evidence on both sides of people who have been treated terribly, they say. And people who have been treated well and shown some sort of prophecy about how they're going to help us out. So I really have I have no idea. I'm not absolutely convinced they are here. And if they are, I certainly don't know what their temperament is. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
How you doing there, Art?
I'm doing fine.
I wonder why your buddy Ross Perot didn't come on the air with you like you asked him to.
Well, I issued in the last election, sir, an invitation to Ross Perot.
Uh-huh.
I issued an invitation to all the candidates this time. Ross Perot does not stay up late and will not stay up late.
That's what I've heard.
Well, that you have heard correctly. And obviously, if you look at my airtime, I'm on late.
Yep. But I could see him 11 o'clock Pacific time coming on with you.
If he was on the Pacific coast, maybe. But I think he's even in bed before that.
Yeah.
And 11 o'clock is 1 o'clock in Dallas.
He's a good old boy. He's to bed on time, that boy. But you're disenfranchised with him now. You're not too crazy about him, I take it.
Well, I don't think that he is electable this year, if that answers your question. He is not going to be elected.
And you think he's going to run again?
I don't know. It's a good question. He may allow another candidate to head the Reform Party next time, and I really think it comes down to that he will allow, because if he runs, he will be the candidate.
Yeah.
In my opinion. So if he sets the Reform Party loose, we may get another candidate next time.
Okay. And just one thing, when you had the two candidates from the other parties, like the Libertarian.
Yes.
Thing that I'm scared about, that this guy gets in here, if they have their way, you can imagine the sweatshops, 13-year-old girls working 12-hour shifts. A lot of safety features will go out the window, let alone legalizing drugs, which I think is crazy.
We
have to have some government.
Yep. I do agree, sir. Believe me, I do agree. I am very much in the middle, and I do agree. I am not able to embrace libertarian philosophy, and I really, really, really like Harry Brown. He is the real thing. He believes in what he says. I just happen not to agree with all of it. Two important non-trivial points. One is legalized drugs. Very bad idea, in my opinion. And the other is open borders. We have every right to control our borders, and we should be doing so. That is my view. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. Steve from South Dakota.
Hey, Steve.
Got a couple of quick things on the lighter side for you tonight, not talking science.
All right.
I received the 20th tape show of your show 2 days ago.
You did?
Yes. And I'm, you know, cataloging them all for reference, and got quite a little library here.
Okay.
And second of all, see if you can guess the artist of this song. It's sort of a prophetic song about what's going on the east and west coast right now with the fire on one coast and the rain on the other.
Right.
Can you guess the artist?
No.
James Taylor, Fire and Rain.
Fire and Rain.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's all I got.
That certainly would fit. Thank you very much. Yeah, Fire and Rain. The East Coast absolutely flooding. I think quite a number of deaths on the East Coast due to the flooding. And, of course, on the West Coast, the fires, even at this hour, continue. And I hope they're getting under control. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Well, good morning, Mr. Bell.
Good morning to you.
My name is John. I'm located in Portland.
Hi,
I
John.
I listen to you all the time on KEX.
Yes, sir.
Let me turn down my radio for a moment.
By all means. Turn it all the way off.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Oops, there goes the phone. Okay. Art, I wanted to know if you could answer a question for me that's been kind of bugging me for the last couple of weeks. I was reading an article about a high school student that was suspended from school because she gave a classmate Midol?
I don't think it was Midol, but it was an aspirin, yes.
That just kind of, kind of throws me in a tizzy. Why in the devil did they suspend her for just giving her an aspirin?
Well, their rule was no student will give any other student any drug, over-the-counter or otherwise. That was the rule.
Oh, okay. It just that did it strike you strange at all?
Yes.
Yeah, because I thought I read something that occurred to another student in a different school that it was either Tylenol or Advil or something like that. And
exactly.
They suspended that student, too. I think they found it in her locker.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I can imagine, you know, doing it if they found pot or heroin or something like that in there, but
I know, aspirin seems radical.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there's a reason for the rule. Thank you for the call. It does sound a little rough, but suppose the other student had had some sort of allergy to that medicine. Then there would have been a real problem. There would have been a real problem. And I suppose that's why they have the rule. A little bit strict, yes, but probably proper. And they wanted the school nurse to dispense any medicine. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Yes.
This is Stephen Dill in Albuquerque, New Mexico. How
yes,
are
sir.
You?
Oh, I'm fine.
Good. I've sent you a couple of faxes off and on the past month or two. I don't know if you've received them. But at any rate, greetings from Albuquerque. This thing with the cats in Australia, my question is, do they know for sure it's safe for humans?
Well, it did not cover that. It's always something to worry about.
Yeah.
What worries me is, even if they've got it right and they've come up with a virus that will kill cats, how can they be sure they're going to keep it in Australia?
Yeah, that's another concern, too. It could very easily, I would think, be transmitted. Other question is, too, I just wanted to tell you thank you very much for your show. And also, this stuff is getting very, very scary. You put together what Ed Dane says and Richard Hoagland says and Malachi Martin, which I caught the first hour of. It's frightening, frightening stuff.
Well, it is in the sense that so many people from so many disciplines are all saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Any one of them you could probably ignore. Taken together, I think you ignore at your own peril.
Yeah, that's true. My question is, maybe next time you have guests of that ilk on, maybe you can ask them what we can do for a little hope. Is it's frightening. I have a 13-week-old son now, and it's scary. You know, it'd be interesting to say, is there any hope for the future at all?
Well, look, I'll tell you how I deal with it. And the way I deal with it is one day at a time, and no matter what anybody predicts for the future, I am going to continue living my life and enjoying my life as fully as I can for every day that I have left. And really, in the end, sir, when you've thought it through and you've listened to everybody, that's all you can do.
That's,
you know, life goes on, right?
That's true.
All right.
One other quick thing.
Quickly.
I will send you a picture of my baby who's going to be a baby chupacabra for Halloween. we're gluing fangs and a long tongue on his pacifier.
Send me the photo.
I will. It'll
all
be
right.
Very cute.
Take it out of the pacifier. All right. We'll be right back.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Coast to Coast AM from the 22nd of October, 1996.
Carol, listening to KKEY, says, Art, Chuck Harder is back. He wanted us to forward his appreciation for your interview. He also thinks you were very gracious to have him on. Moreover, he wants to know how many of his 48 cats he can ship to you. Yeah, that's my understanding. He has 48 cats. 48 cats. I cannot imagine in my wildest dreams 48 cats. I have three, and they represent a definite household. Believe me, my three. Three cats are an interesting combination. Two cats are one thing, but when you get three cats, there's a different dynamic that takes hold, a different kind of pecking order, and different behavior altogether ensues. It's really weird. Dear Art, to correct a mistake you're relaying to your listeners, Dark Skies is on NBC. The World Series games are on Fox. That's right. I had it wrong. Only during the playoffs was Dark Skies preempted. And as your recent guest stated, the producer of Dark Skies, they are returning to the regular program schedule as of last Saturday. In other words, there will be no more preemptions due to baseball. Thanks. Chris from Las Vegas. Yes, you are correct. You are correct. Art, I believe that you are not being responsible to your God-given right as a resident of the U.S. to cast a vote for a valid candidate. Your constant statements about this election being over are foolish. You do not remember the 1994 election, and the polls all said the Republicans would make little or no gains in either the House or the Senate. But alas, they were proven wrong. Well, and maybe they will be this time. The key word, though, is valid candidate. Sir, I don't like either one of these candidates. It's Chris. Chris, I don't like either one of these candidates. I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. I think Bob Dole is not as good as the Republicans think he is, nor is Bill Clinton as bad as the as many of you think that he is. He is not evil incarnate. But both of them are not to my taste at all, and I've thought this over very carefully. I am fortunate in my state in that I have an option to vote for none of the above, and that is exactly what I intend to do. And then I am going to vote right down the line for a Republican House and Senate, as I am able to do so. And I think that's, and I hope that's what's going to happen. In fact, I predict that is what's going to occur. President Clinton is going to be reelected, I believe, and there'll be a bare majority retained in the House, I hope, and a majority retained in the Senate, I trust. And then I think in the year that follows the election, Bill Clinton is going to find himself in quite serious trouble. That's my forecast. All right, first time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Wow, I've been trying for so long to get through.
Well, now you're here. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, KFYI.
Exactly.
Where you guys have the only smart way of doing things, you don't change times twice a year.
Right. I think we're the only place in the country.
Well, there may be one other. I would very much like to join you. I am so sick of changing clocks I could scream.
I was just talking to my wife earlier. I must be out of state. She's up in Idaho.
Mm.
And, you know, it's kind of frustrating for her. She likes it down here as well, especially as cold as it is up there right now. But she's up there skiing, visiting her family and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, why don't I drive up there and we drive down and let's go over to Pahrump, Nevada. See what see what this Pahrump place is all about. But yeah, I've been really, really enjoying your show. It's a godsend. I mean, that someone would take the time to bring some of these issues to the air with. I mean, it's like, I know you cannot act with impunity. I'm sure that there's, you know, concerns that may allay many of the issues that could be dealt with.
Not really. No, actually, the truth is I can talk about anything I want.
Well, and you do.
And I do.
And you certainly do. I'm amazed, and especially listening to some of the, you know, the variety of things that you've played, the backwards talking, that was just
Well,
amazing.
Sir, man does not live by politics alone. At least I don't. And talk radio across America right now is almost, you know, unless you're Dr. So-and-so helping people out with their emotional problems. Otherwise, talk radio is all politics all the time. It's either going to have to change, or as the leading format in America, it's going to die out.
Well, I think you've made a really good point there as well. And I've been hoping that, you know, I've been kind of apathetic about it because it's like, you know, this—it's like she just got through saying it. What do we have to choose from? I mean, what do we have to choose from?
It is not a good choice this year, sir.
There's no choice. And I was thinking about Nicaragua, little Nicaragua. I've been all through Latin America. I used to live in Central America, and you know, they call the place Banana Republic. But they're really quite advanced, high literacy rates, very politically minded. You had 23 presidential candidates in Nicaragua.
Right.
And very close election, monitored, all computerized.
Yep.
Very well done. Very, very well done. I was there in, let's see, I was there in 1979, July, when the Sandinistas took over the government. I was in the capital. And then I was there again.
No kidding.
Oh, boy, that right out of high school.
Oh, man, that must have really been something.
Yeah, two of my buddies taking a trip down to South America, you know, our post-graduation getaway trip kind of thing, you know.
And you went to Nicaragua when Ortega took over.
Yeah, well, we didn't know that was going on. I mean,
I understand.
We weren't politically aware at that
no,
time.
No, I understand. Nicaragua just looked like a nice place to visit.
Well, it was part of the itinerary down to Buenos Aires, which
well,
was our destination.
To their benefit, they did not return Mr. Ortega to power. Thank goodness.
But you know what was really amazing was we were airlifted back by the American Embassy. They took
sure.
a lot of people. They took us back out to to Tegucigalpa. I
right.
guess we had an air base there or something going on there before we started helping the Contras later. But anyway, they I noticed in a photo that I saw in a periódico, what do you call it, a newspaper down there. They had Violeta Chamorro, who became the president. She rode into town in the victory procession alongside of Daniel Ortega.
That's right. I recall that. Thank you very much for the call. I recall that. And the elections in Nicaragua are definitely a bright spot. If we can just do something about Cuba, the world will indeed in many ways be a better place. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am fine.
My name's Kevin. I'm calling from LaFountain, Indiana.
Yes, sir.
About the cats in Australia.
Yes.
I believe about a year ago, did they not try to get rid of the rabbits in Australia?
Correct.
Okay. I was thinking they were trying to do that.
Yeah, they like designer viruses down there.
I see. There's one thing that the person has to remember about voting for Dole or Clinton this year.
What's that?
Clinton is approving judges for, you know, he's already appointed more judges in his first term than Reagan ever did, both terms that he was elected. And he's got a lot more judges to appoint.
Well, you know, I would say that what you're raising is a good and valid point, except for the fact that if you look at the appointments that required congressional approval, ones that were made by Clinton
mm-hmm.
and required approval of the Senate, almost inevitably, just like rubber stamps, they were approved.
Yes, I realize that. I would just, for some reason, would think that Dole would have a little bit more conservative thinking on when he goes to appoint these judges than what...
Well, I would certainly like to think so, but the record would be that he helped confirm those that were sent to him by President Clinton, so why would you think that his appointments would have... would necessarily be, you know, I think both of them are going to be forced, if there is a Republican House, as there is now, no matter who would get in, to force people in, to appoint people pretty much in the middle, no matter who gets in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe okay. I'm wrong. I don't think so.
Well, I just thought I'd throw that out at the people out there.
No, I appreciate it.
One other thing, Art.
Yes, sir.
I understand that you've been looking for a witch to interview.
Oh, yes.
There's a lady that I seen on the 700 Club about a year ago, and she was she's no longer a witch today, but she was heavily involved in it.
Yeah, but she probably preaches the exact opposite today, right?
Yeah, well...
I want a real... I know I'm going to catch a lot of flack for this. Every time I say it, I want a real wicked, broom-riding... house crunched, serious witch.
Well, see, this lady here, she was the queen of all the witches involved in black witchcraft in Europe for several years there. So she was heavily involved in it several years ago, and I just thought I'd mention that to you.
All right. Well, I'm glad you did. Thank you very much. And I will now immediately get faxes saying there is no such thing. There is Wicca, but we're nice witches, and I know. I am convinced, nevertheless, that if I keep looking, eventually I will find a real broom-riding wicked witch of the North, and I'm going to interview one if it kills me. Well, it just might, Art. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, kid.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great.
Good.
I cannot believe that the Australian government wants to destroy cats.
Well, they do. All of them.
I'm a cat lover. There are some kids in our neighborhood that killed our cat. He was great. His name was Lucifer.
Lucifer the cat?
Oh, he was wonderful. He had a broken tail, and if you ever touched it, all Hades would break loose.
I see.
But
can't you put a cat's tail in a splint?
Well, my daughter found him in a gunny sack.
Yeah.
Somebody, when the litter was born, somebody put him in a gunny sack and threw him in a ditch full of water.
Oh, God,
he was the only one who lived.
Ah.
And we raised him from very, very little. But we have a cat named Demon.
Demon?
Yeah.
Demon and Lucifer? Who decides on the names for your cats?
It's a combined effort. My daughter found this demon at the post office, and he has these really bugged eyes. It looks like somebody scared the heck out of him.
You mean kind of like this?
Real close.
Recognize that sound?
Oh, yeah, often.
You step on Lucifer's tail, that's what happens.
I'm afraid so. But I really think that the whole thing is completely out of control. If you want to get rid of the cats, pretty soon someone's going to say, well, I'm a postal worker and we need to get rid of all the dogs. And then pretty soon somebody's going to say, well, we need to get rid of all the coyotes.
Well, either way, the postal workers would be your right group. I think. My mother-in-law is a postal worker at the Santa Ana Post Office. I get in so much trouble for that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
I How you doing,
Eric? I'm all right.
This is Alan from Junction City in Oregon.
Yes, sir.
Just woke up here a while ago, and like I do, I work during the day, but I leave the show on the radio at night. And,
all right.
Boy, you make for some weird dreams.
I make weird radio, actually.
Yeah, yeah, and I thank you for it. Yeah, we're listening to Dreamland with Linda Sunday night.
Linda Moulton Howe, yes.
Yeah, good show.
It was a good show, yes.
And like you, I spent some time down in the Central Coast. I lived in Santa Maria for many years.
Ah, yes.
And I'm pretty good friends with a lot of the Chumash people down there.
Ah.
And you know where Point Conception is?
Sure.
Okay, Point Conception is called the Western Gate. It's the departing place for souls.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And when I heard about that crop circle, I just said, oh, geez, I wonder what it looks like. And then you guys described it a little bit, and I said, oh, sounds like the cave paintings.
Yep.
And it's getting close. Another thing I thought about was with the crop circles, you know, what's going to happen when I live in Oregon now. You know, we've got all these trees up here. What happens when you get a crop circle made out of trees? You know,
you'd be able to see that from the aircraft.
I think that might catch somebody's attention, yeah.
You know, I had a fax from somebody the other day who claimed to have a crop circle. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
On her rug. Now you watch. We'll start something. We'll start with the rug circles. How many of you monitor your carpets, folks, and let's see how many rug circles we get out there. I mean, after all, if you can have a crop circle in wheat, if you can have one on grass, even bare ground, then why not on wall-to-wall carpeting? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, for crying out loud, I gave up on you 2 hours ago.
Well, then how did you just now get through?
Picked up the phone, hit redial, man.
Oh.
Hey, let's say we meet in the middle and set our clocks back half an hour and leave it at that.
That, you know, maybe that would be the kind of protest that would finally get somebody's attention.
Hey, Art.
Yes, sir.
I've been listening to you now for about 2 years. And here recently with going through Clinton's term of in his office, you distress me.
I'm sorry you're distressed.
2 years ago, we wanted Republicans,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Why don't we want them still?
Well, I still do. I intend to vote, as a matter of fact, entirely Republican, down
right.
below the presidential ticket.
Right.
But I have come to the conclusion, sir, though I know it distresses you, that for president right now, there is very little difference between what these two men will do. Oh, there is a difference between what they say.
Right.
But very little difference between what they do.
Right. I understand
or what
the
they
issues.
Will do. Do you believe that to be correct or incorrect?
I understand what you're saying, okay. But issues are issues. You can't please all the people. You know, all the time. Both of these candidates were just cheerio, Democratic or Republican. There was no scandalism, no nothing.
Scandalism?
There was nothing in the media that's been, you know, tearing Clinton down and getting people, you know, hyped up or whatnot. Say they were both, you know.
In other words, if it was a perfect world.
Right, well, something like that.
Yes. say it was. Then.
Right.
Yes.
What would you... How would you vote?
Well, if there was no scandal,
right? Just you know, wipe the slate clean. You
boy,
know, it's hard to do too with all these things that's been going on. You know, honestly, would you vote Republican or Democratic?
It would depend on the candidates.
Okay.
I don't vote a straight party line.
Okay.
I just don't do that. I vote for the person.
Hey, has anybody ever asked you this question? What kind of car do you have? Our vehicles, cars.
I have two Geo Metros.
Two Geo? Oh.
My wife and myself.
All right. How big is your house?
You mean in square foot?
Sure.
Footage? I think it's about 1,600 square feet.
1,600, and you got all that, and you got what now? A good 30, you missed your computer, so you got a clock on your computer, right?
Sir, I have clocks on everything.
I know. 1,600 square foot home, and
yes.
You got a good 40 clocks. You got a tight squeeze, man.
I got a good 40 clocks. There's no question about it. Maybe 50. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what I'll do. This time, I will count the clocks. How's that?
No wonder Comet's bouncing off the walls. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Take care. I will count the clocks this time, and I'll let you know. There's clocks and everything. See, I like electronic gizmos, and they are all over my house. And each one has a clock. Believe me, each one has a clock. Radios everywhere, they all have clocks. Ham radios, they have clocks. VCRs have clocks. Televisions have clocks. Clocks, clocks, clocks.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from the 22nd of October, 1996. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 22nd, 1996.
Once again, here I am. Hi, Art. I understand you would like a real broom-riding wicked witch from the north. I can put you in touch with my mother-in-law up in Canada. I'll not sign this for obvious reasons. Coward. Art, nearly 4 weeks ago, I called for information on your cruise to Egypt and other interesting places. I have received nothing. They have processed thousands and thousands of requests for information, so maybe yours got lost. Call them again. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
This is Roberta in Walla Walla.
Roberta in Walla Walla.
Yes.
Okay.
Listening on Kona.
K-O-N-A in Tri-Cities.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Been trying to get through to you for the longest time, and I finally made it.
I'm glad you did.
By the way, I wanted to ask you, how is Comet?
Comet is better by the day.
Good going. I've got my cat Spock curled up next to me here. He's listening to you, too.
Do you know what Comet will now let me do?
What?
Kiss him. I can put my... I can actually go up and go... On his side, you know, on the fur.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, there was a day when I would have lost half my face for trying that. So that is serious progress.
Well, my cat Spock kisses me all the time. And, you know, you tell people about that who don't necessarily like cats. And they say, ooh, you know, but it's nice.
Well, these are people who don't matter.
That's true. a few weeks ago, I sent you a letter about a UFO sighting at our local high school here, and I don't know if you had occasion to get it yet or not.
I think I do recall it at a local high school. Yes, I do recall it.
Mm-hmm. Kind of fizzled out. I didn't hear too much more about it. But what I actually wanted to mention concerning the election, our favorite subject.
Yes. Well, it's bearing down on us. You know, we're less than 2 weeks away now.
Yes, that's true. I happened to hear just a little bit of your program with the two gentlemen from the Libertarian Party.
Yes, and the Taxpayers Party.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I didn't happen to hear if either one of them mentioned anything about treaties that Clinton has entered into with the United Nations.
Well, the United Nations was mentioned. I don't think specific treaties.
Yeah, there's two that I don't think most people are very aware of them, mostly because the media doesn't talk about them and Clinton really doesn't talk about them. But there's two treaties in particular, the Treaty on the Rights of the Child and the other one is on biodiversity.
Yeah, actually treaties are not something that Clinton or any other president can just enter into.
Right.
Treaties require ratification by two-thirds of the Senate, if
exactly.
They are really treaties.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes.
And probably the reason they haven't been ratified is because we've had Republicans in there that have been, you know, keeping a check and balance on things.
Yes, and if we're smart, we will keep Republicans in there.
Absolutely. That's the thing I'm hoping for, that at least if Clinton is reelected.
I'm a realist, and I do believe he is going to be reelected. I'm not here to be a cheerleader. I'm reading the tea leaves the way I think they're dropping. And so my feeling now is to concentrate on keeping the checks and the balances in place.
Absolutely. I would be interested in people, you know, commenting if they have heard anything about these particular treaties. I've been trying to, you know, get more information on them myself. But when you delve into them and find out what they really say, you know, they're going to take the sovereignty of the United States completely away.
All right. Well, let's see what we can find out from the audience, all right?
Okay. And, Art, I'm sure glad I finally got to talk to you.
I'm glad you made it. Thank you.
You keep me company many a night here.
Take care. Yes, it makes the night go faster. If you're out on the road, talk radio is really cool on the road. You can only take so much of the Muzak and the beat, and then you... you've just had enough, and you've got to go do something else. And your mind with talk radio will be occupied in a way it never can be with music. As a matter of fact, music, after a while, will begin to put you to sleep. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi there, Italian Stallion. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, that show Friday night with Malachi
Martin.
Yeah, that was very, very chilling and very fascinating. I think... he was right on about a lot of stuff when you asked him about the Antichrist and all that. That was really, my radio started fading really bad in and out when he started answering that question, started banging on my radio and everything.
Really?
Yeah, I said, oh, no, I want to hear this part because that was a really good question. And anyway, I wanted to ask you, do you know anything about that, the Turkish government? How come they don't want to let the newer expedition teams or the latest expedition teams up to... go up to that arc because they've got some real high-tech equipment that could...
I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about.
The
Turkish government, I know the Egyptian government is having some a war with people who want to come in, the antiquities people in Egypt. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the Noah's Ark up in Ararat.
Oh, yes, Ararat.
I think that would answer everybody's question in the world about the Bible and all that other stuff.
Well, maybe. I've seen the satellite photos of the of what is said to be Noah's Ark. Now, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Some of the satellite photographs look very interesting. Other people say it is nothing but an interesting formation. So I don't know what the truth is, sir.
Yeah, I think we ought to do more research up there. But otherwise, you have a good one, Art, and I'll see you.
All right, take care. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Harold comes through.
Hello, Harold.
Yeah. Last spring I was in Vegas and I went to a psychic to do a past life regression.
Yes.
And I asked her if she could take the last 5 minutes and bring me into the future. And I wanted to know if the stock market was going to crash and when.
Right.
She asked me when the stock market was going to crash and I said 1 month after the big earthquake. And she said, what earthquake? And I said, the one down in Mississippi. It's going to be twice as wide and twice as deep as the Grand Canyon is.
When is that going to be?
Next spring.
Next spring. All right. Well, let's see. That would be just about the right time. That would be the spring of 97, right? So there'll be an earthquake and then a stock market crash. Gee, you would think the market crash would follow the earthquake a little bit closer than that even, you know, like next day. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello? Going once, going twice, gone west of the Rockies. You're on the air.
Charlie, liberal in California.
Well.
Well. Now the Republicans have put their foot in it this time.
Oh, not again.
Man, here's the funny thing. They run against Bill Clinton on character, and who do they put up against him? It's only a man that's been in politics for 35 years. Now, this might come as a surprise to them, but there are only two positions that are rated lower than politician, one being used car salesman and the other being lawyer. Now, tell me. Now, the American people obviously looked at this and they decided...
I thought the media was in there somewhere.
Well, that'd probably be right in the top 10, you're right. But the whole the thing of it is, though, if they had run someone like Colin Powell or somebody of that ilk, say mm-hmm. some general with a clean record or something like that,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they, you know, you could have got that contrast there. But to say, okay, Bill Clinton's a low character, so we're going to give you Bob Dole, it's absolutely, it's laughable, and it's, I mean, it's a joke. It's like saying, oh, okay, instead of Charles Manson, we're going to give you, you know, some other guy that's been locked up for 12, 13 years or whatever. The thing about it is that once you become a politician, most people believe, and I think correctly so, that they're all muddy, that they're all dirty, especially when it's been around for 35 years.
Well, you just said it yourself, Charles. Most people believe that they're all muddy now. They're all dirty, and for the most part, I agree with those people, and apparently you do too, and that would include your candidate, would it not?
Well, the thing about Bill Clinton, though, is that he's never been attracted to money. Now, the thing is, Bill Clinton is an extremely aggressive politician. Make no mistake about that.
Charlie, if he's not attracted to money, what was he doing with Whitewater?
Well, I think his wife has more to do with that than he does. But the whole thing of it is that Bill Clinton is probably the most ruthless politician, other than maybe Richard Nixon, ever seen.
He is ruthless. He's
absolutely ruthless.
Yes, he is.
Very, very cunning.
Yes.
But the thing about it in politics, unfortunately, those qualities are absolutely necessary.
People ruthless, Charlie, ruthless and cunning in the tradition, I would say, of Lyndon Johnson.
I'd say in the tradition of Lyndon Johnson. Unfortunately, though, to be an effective politician, you've got to be ruthless, you've got to be cunning, because don't forget, the other guy's coming after you with all he has, too. So you have got to understand that you can't be a nice guy and survive.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, Democrats in the past have not been able to understand that concept. Thank God that we got a Democrat like Bill Clinton, who finally understands that he's got to
cunning.
Get down in the mud in order to win. And the Republicans are just being out Republican because they've done this in the past, and now you got Bill Clinton doing it, and they can't deal with that. But I think it's terrific.
There is a lot of truth in that, Charlie. Thank you. There is a lot of truth in that. Bill Clinton gets right down in the mud. He is certainly ruthless. He is certainly cunning. He has certainly adopted a lot of tactics that the Republicans have used successfully throughout the years, as well as many of their positions. He's done that. He is, I agree, ruthless and cunning. On the other hand, Bob Dole is a compromiser, an ineffective campaigner, and to a large degree has been hampered by right-wing talk show hosts who have slammed Clinton much harder than he should have been slammed, so hard that the American people have become numb. This whole scandal business. The American people have simply become numb. When you accuse people of drug dealing and murder and every financial scandal and so forth and so on that one can imagine, then when you have a candidate who comes along, like Bob Dole, who is not particularly a good campaigner, and he hits Clinton with what he considers to be a reasonable allegation, for example, this campaign finance business, the American people go, I mean, that's nothing compared to what he's been hit with before and has basically bounced off him. So I think an awful lot of talk show hosts have done a tremendous disservice to the proper political process in America. They have literally made people in this country numb. Numb. Anybody out there really disagree with that? West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Art, I called you one day last week, and I was on the subject of reincarnation, and I got the impression you didn't want to talk about it.
No, I'm pleased to talk about it.
Oh, well, I wondered if you would get a guest on who would be opposed to it, and you said you were going to have the priest on Friday.
I sure did.
But I listened to the whole program, and it never came up. The subject of reincarnation never came up.
Oh, I see. Well, it would have been obvious. I mean, he's a Catholic priest.
Well, I wonder. Yeah, but I see there are pros and cons to the subject, and I would like to hear somebody who has arguments against it.
Well,
and,
why don't you go ahead and make some now? What do you think?
Okay, the people who believe in it, they say that we keep reincarnating and coming back because they say that's the way we learn.
Yes.
If you remember, they always say that. They say that's how we learn.
Yes, yes.
And yet, on the program Friday night, you and the priest both agreed that we are lost. I don't know if you remember that, but once...
Oh, I remember it clearly.
Yeah. Well, if we keep reincarnating to come back to learn, you should think we would find our way. By now, we would not be lost.
Well, in other words, we would become wiser and wiser and wiser, is what you're
suggesting. Instead of that, we're getting dumber and dumber and dumber.
Mm. Well, there's another problem with reincarnation, and that is that there are constantly more people on the earth. In other words, more souls.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe those who are learning and becoming wiser because of reincarnation, if it does exist, are being, in effect, outvoted by the new souls coming along who don't know a damn thing.
I don't know. That's why I would like... now, when you first came on this radio station, when you left the other station, I remember hearing you say that you intended to have Roy Masters as a guest. And I don't know, maybe you changed your mind, but I would like to hear him talk about it for a few
minutes. I haven't changed my mind at all. I had Roy several times, as you know.
Oh, then I must have missed. I hear you. I seldom miss your program. But I never heard him on your program.
Oh, my.
Oh, no.
Well, then you must not catch them all. That's all I can say, because I've had Roy on, I would say, over the years, probably at least a half dozen times.
Since you've been on this station?
Well, I don't know what station you're listening to.
The one you're on now.
I'm on 300 stations, ma'am.
Well, I'm in Las Vegas.
Okay, that helps. You mean KVEG. Maybe not since we've been on KVEG, that's right.
Well, that's what I mean, you know, and I know you had him before that, yes.
Oh.
Would you consider having him?
Of course.
I think he's very, very interesting, and or him or any guest who would give the arguments against reincarnation.
Do you think he does not believe in it?
I'm not sure, but I think he does not.
Mm-hmm. Would it surprise you if you found out he did?
Yes, it would. I think I heard him a lot. I've listened to him for 30 years, and a long time ago, I heard him say something about that this would be something the devil would want because people could keep messing up their lives each time, and they say, well, I got another chance. I'll reincarnate, and I'll do better the next time, and they never do. This was an argument I heard him give a long time ago.
I see. All right. Maybe I'll have him on. How about that?
Oh, I'm going to make sure I never miss your program because I won't know ahead of time unless you announce it.
Well, I usually do announce guests ahead of time.
Oh, thank you very much, Art.
You're welcome. Take care. Glad you called. And that was Las Vegas. Indeed. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. Mike in Nashville.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Fine.
Listen, I tried to get through Friday when you had Father Martin on.
Yes, sir.
I was unable to and all. I had a couple of questions I wanted to ask him, but I know this had to be pumping through your mind. Did you catch all of the parallels, I mean, almost right down to the T of the things
that he
saw in the next 3 or 4 years that Major Dames has already talked about?
Stop me cold.
Man.
I knew to the audience that listens to my show, I really didn't even have to say anything. I knew all of you were catching it.
Oh, golly, boy. I mean, it was right down to the T, but he said one thing that jumped out at me when we started talking about the Antichrist, whether he has yet to come or may already be here.
Right.
He'll be the one that will present these problems to us and then maybe show the solution.
That's right.
And that was scary, but I really enjoyed that interview with him. He did say that he would come back any time, and I'm glad he said that, so I hope you have him back more often.
Well, I will.
But the parallels there with what I just can't wait till Ed Dames comes back after he has spent a month or two with putting all his resources into this next 3.5-4 years.
Yeah, well, it was so obvious, the things that just went click, 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 not just Ed Dames, but so many of my other guests.
Yeah, yeah.
And then to have somebody of the church on who it stopped me cold, and I thought, I don't even need to call attention to this. They're all getting it.
Well, I'll tell you what, Art, and I've turned 50 years old August the 1st, and I don't know whether this comes with getting older or what, but I know that something has changed in my life just in the last 4 or 5 years. I think when you get older, you get more spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
You get more introspective within, looking into yourself. And I've become aware of a lot of things that are happening around me and around the world that I never have been concerned about before.
Same here.
Concern myself about them enough to put these things together.
No, I hear you. I'm 51 years old, and I have begun to awaken to many of the same things, sir.
It is really an adventure, and I think that we might see a wave of more of this. But if anybody was ever the conduit to bring these things to the attention of people, I think you're doing a wonderful job of it. As a matter of fact, I bought me an espresso machine.
All right, look, I got to run. We're at the news here.
All righty.
You take care, my friend.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. In Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
Welcome to the program, those of you who join at this hour. Anything is possible tonight, anything at all. Who knows? But then again, that's kind of the way I like it. Since I tell you folks everything, and I try to, I'm going to tell you something now because there's about to be a change on the air. Since before I went on the air this evening, my wife has been having a severe asthma attack, and it is particularly severe right now. So I'm sorry, but at this point I'm going to bail out, folks, and I'm going to go help her. She's having a difficult time breathing. So if you're listening up there at the network, on my mark, please roll a tape. That's it, folks. Mark. See you tomorrow. Richard Nixon.
No. What I'm saying is that on a morality level, the American people have decided that Bill Clinton is no angel, but he's no Richard Nixon. He's probably
someplace
in between, which is correct.
I think that's about right.
And they've decided that, although it's not maybe perfect
he's
on a morality
in between
scale,
Richard Nixon and an angel, and that there's a lot of territory in there.
Exactly. And yes. Bill Clinton is acceptable on a morality scale. And then has he done the job? The answer to that is yes.
Let's examine this. If Richard Nixon was a zero, okay, and an angel is a 10, where would you say Bill Clinton would be?
I would put Bill Clinton toward the lack of morality scale. But let me say this real fast.
I mean, like a 2 or a 3?
Let me say this real fast. The best executives, and a psychologist...
Wait a minute. I really want to be clear. Charlie, I want to be clear on this. Is he closer to Richard Nixon or an angelic form?
He's probably closer to Richard Nixon, but let me say this real fast. The best executives tend to be
sociopaths, people with sociopathic personalities, who actually tend to be great mass murderers. But the thing about it is that people who are executives have to some extent be ruthless and be heartless. And so if you look at some of our best presidents, morality speaking, they haven't been very good people, but they've been very good executives. And that's why I think that actually helps Bill Clinton. It doesn't hurt him. It helps him.
Would you like to be a smoking cop?
A what?
A smoking cop.
What is that?
A nicotine policeman.
No, but I think we're going to need those.
A tobacco flatfoot.
I think it's going to come down to that.
I'm sure it is, but you wouldn't want to personally be one.
Personally be one?
Yeah.
No, but I think what we can do is have if we had people who were strong anti on an anti-smoking scale, as they did some of these religious anti-abortion people, we could get a lot of things done, because those people, even though I hate their guts, those people know what to do. If we got some people out with signs who are willing to go and break into some of these places and do some aggressive stuff, then I think we could get something done on that anti-smoking level, because that's what it's going to take.
All right, Charles, thank you. There's been missing for a while. There he is back. Like bad weather. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Rittmeister Gerhardt, Oakland, California.
When it rolls, it rolls.
I tell you, it's not every day I get to follow Charlie.
It's
communist.
True. It's true, Hickmeister. So what's on your mind?
Well, I tell you, if I had to put an angel and Richard Nixon and Hillary Clinton in a line, I think Richard Nixon would somewhere be in the middle between Hillary and the angel. Because, you know, we had people who went to jail for 3 years for looking at one or two files. The Clintonistas have had 900, count them, folks, 900 files of FBI confidential files of people that they have been looking at. And this is not going near the Whitewater scam that he was running.
Why do you think there has not been a similar ruckus, or even greater, considering the number of files, raised?
Because the media is run by the liberals. That's why.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you don't even see sound clips of Republicans screeching and yelping and jumping up and down.
Now, if we had a real, true conservative like Pat Buchanan, who was running...
But you don't.
He would be chewing up and spitting out not only the liberal media...
But, Hypemeister, you don't. He didn't win. Bob Dole won.
Well, that's why we have to vote for Bob Dole, okay? It's like going up on top of a mountain and pointing your hands in two opposite directions. On one hand, you'll have a mountain range 50 miles to the left... And you look to your right 50 miles and you'll see Las Vegas. Even though those two things that you're pointing at are 100 miles apart,
you know,
the hands that are pointing at them are relatively close together.
Slymeister, the way I think about it is, it's like going up to the top of a mountain, to use your analogy.
Well, I'm not done with it yet.
And standing on the very top and jumping off in any direction.
No.
You're dead, no matter what you do.
The two hands are relatively close together. However, they are pointing in absolutely different directions. See, we need a Republican president to go with a Republican Congress so we can undo the damage that has been done to this country, the damage that has been done to our Constitution by 40 years.
What damage are you referring to?
I'm referring to gun control. I'm referring to the...
Well, but wait a minute now. Gun control, all right? Bob Dole, after all, signed off on an awful lot of gun control, and you know it. So how's he going to undo it? I mean, he was part of the doing it.
Did he vote for the Brady Bill?
Yeah,
he did, huh?
Yeah, he sure did.
Well,
all right, Hypemeister, thank you for the call. But, I mean, that's the truth. You know, you better look into it. Before you get too carried away, you better look into it. That's why I say it's like going up on top of a mountain. Doesn't matter which way you jump. You're going to be dead when you hit the rocks. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Speaking
Good
of rocks.
Good morning, Art Bell. How are you today?
I'm just fine.
Good. I'm in KCMO, where all the fire engines and the police cars carry the call letters.
They sure do.
Do
Did you, you know, I just got done reading your book, and I saw that you used to be an engineer at Cootie.
That's right.
God, I grew up in Oceanside. And in Oceanside in 1979, I reported to KUDE that there was a UFO. It was like on Halloween night.
No kidding.
My sister and I both called KUDE, and we called the Vista Sheriff's Department, or, you know, actually San Diego Sheriff's Department, and the Oceanside Police Department. And it was just, like, phenomenal. It didn't even dawn on me when it was.
And actually, I was both. I was an engineer, and I was on the air there as well.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, it was just unbelievable. Do you remember the airplane that crashed in Thunder Hills over on Annette Street?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
You don't? Oh, this, no. There was a little, I don't know.
I might not have been there then.
Okay, well, it was about the same time era. There was a little airplane that crashed into a house behind my parents' home where I grew up. And I lived at home at that time. I'm in Kansas City now, by the way, KCMO.
Right.
And anyway, there was a, you know, a single plane engine that crashed in to the house right behind us, and it was just about the same, you know, time era. And I thought,
very, very disconcerting.
Yes, it was. Well, it was a horrible incident. The guy did walk away from it, by the way. But I remember KUDE covered that, and it was very interesting.
Well, so. It may have been at a time I wasn't there. KUDE was really something else.
You know, for Oceanside, it was just way ahead of its time. It was unbelievable.
No question about it. We rocked.
Oh, yeah. God, it really did. You know, compared to, what was that guy's name down in San Diego with the big beard? And can't think of this guy's name down at KTB.
You're not talking about Wolfman.
Yes.
You're talking about
Wolfman? Yeah, he was something else. And the chili.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was wonderful.
All right, listen, I've got to scoot. Thank you very, very much for the call. Take care. That was Wolfman. May he rest in peace. Wolfman. He's passed on, you know. I got a piece of email earlier in the day from somebody that tells me that my name, there's a company, I guess, called California Air Checks. And they air-checked a lot of the people who were in California radio in years past. And my name is listed as having air-checks on file with this group at 91X, where I used to work. Extra. That was back in the days when we had to drive down to Tijuana. And so I may be able to get my hands on some extra air-checks of when I was there. If I do, I'll play them for you. That would be indeed something. So we'll see. I got that email yesterday, and that would be a little further into my career, so I wouldn't sound quite as a beginnerish as I did with the old pirate station down at Amarillo Air Force Base. That was almost embarrassing to play. And I would actually imagine even some of the extra stuff now might be embarrassing, but I bet it'd be fun to listen to. Father Malachi Martin, Friday night, Saturday morning, right here. He is an official spokesman for the Vatican. He, for 30 years, has been doing exorcisms for the church. He's going to be my guest Friday night, Saturday morning. So, prepare thyself. That's going to be a rough ride, I sense. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Arbell, this is Italian Stallion.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear on the top of the hour, I guess England's calling a halt to all handguns? Yeah, they said on the ABC News at 3 o'clock.
They're calling a halt?
On all handguns. Yeah, I heard it pretty clearly, so it's pretty shocking, but they've been wanting to do that a long time. So.
Well, it's underway in Australia, you know.
But, yeah, I just wanted to mention that, and it's good to have the old Charlie Liberal back. He sounded like he came back from the dead.
He sounded pretty lively, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
Well, it's harder to get through is what it is these days, as I'm sure you've noted.
Yeah, but like you said, I'm not going to miss that debate for all the tea and probably all Europe, too.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, have
in
a
London,
good one.
They have a lot of tea in London, more than guns, apparently.
But, yeah, but they did ban that, so you might want to see if the other callers heard that.
Well, the English have a lot of trouble with tea.
Yeah, but they've called a halt to all handguns. It kind of shocked me when I heard that at the top of the hour.
All right, I appreciate the call. Thank you. They called a halt. You mean they've banned all handguns? Got to turn them in, huh? We are working on a project that will have this program delivered to all of the British Isles for 2 hours every night. In turn, our network is going to carry 2 hours of the British talk radio at another time segment during the day. And so it's kind of a like a student exchange, except with broadcasting. So eventually we're going to be on the air in all of Britain. And that'll be something, won't it? That would be nice. Anybody in England right now? Let me give out my my number, if you wouldn't mind, my international number. If you're in England, if you're in Britain, and you're listening to us right now, how about a call? I would absolutely love it. Anybody in Britain, call us now. And the way you do it, toll-free, it won't cost you a penny, is get hold of the AT&T operator there, or get the AT&T USA Direct country code, and then call 800-893-0903. Somebody ought to be listening on the Internet in Britain. Call us. 800-893-0903. Let me give that one more time. Get hold of the AT&T operator and tell her you want to call 800-893-0903 in the good old USA, and it will be toll-free. It will not cost you a penny from anywhere in the world. So they're going to ban all handguns, are they? In jolly old.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, Art, this is Bob in Central Indiana. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I don't know. Things are going downhill. There's the smoking thing, and now they're banning guns altogether in England, I understand. And I don't know. It's just a bad day.
Well, I guess I might cheer you up here a little bit.
Okay.
I heard something on the radio the other day that I just got to pass it on to you. It could affect some real changes in the government. All elections will be held the Tuesday after April the 15th. What do you think? Think it might work?
I do. Because I personally am in a foul mood for actually weeks following April 15th.
Oh, yeah.
I've determined that I will not pay my tax until that final day. I hold on to it.
Same here.
You know, for as long as I can. Why should they get interest when I can get it?
That's right.
And then when I have to sit down and I have to write the check, I'm really angry for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And then I forget.
Yeah. It just makes too much sense. It'll never happen.
That's correct. They're not fools.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, you have a good day, Art.
All right. Well, you too, sir. Thanks for cheering me up. That's right. If they held the elections the first Tuesday after April 15th, it'd be a whole different tune out there, wouldn't it? But they're not that dumb. They're not going to do that. They know that we have short memories, relatively short. Now, when I'm forced to think about it, I can recall my anger, and I'm sure you can too. But it doesn't last, does it? You forget. And if they weren't taking it from you in small parts, contract employees know this is true. At the end of the year, they get generally hit for... Well, they get in lots of trouble because they go and they spend their money and they forget about the tax and then it comes and bites them, you know where, on April 15th. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Art.
Yes.
Hey, you know, the Second Amendment has actually been repealed.
When did that occur?
Well, it occurred when the Supreme Court quit hearing any cases on it.
Well, I'll tell you something. It may be well that they're not hearing cases on it. Because there may be a case to suggest that it would be a states' rights issue and that the Supreme Court would say the Second Amendment only applies state by state. I interviewed Judge Bork, and that's what he said. That's what he said he believed.
It could be. The Tenth Amendment does give us that.
So I wouldn't be in too much of a hurry, especially in the present climate.
Yeah, but for the last 3 years, the Supreme Court has refused to hear any case on the Second Amendment.
That's what I said. You probably ought to be saying thank you, because that leaves it in a gray area. If it goes to the court, that could be it.
Yeah. Hey, on a lighter note, that conference call you had the other day with two or three people, that was really fascinating.
What are you referring to?
Oh, the conference call with... I was trying to think about the pyramids and everything.
Oh, yes. Oh, you mean the Graham Hancock, Robert Bouval, Richard Hoagland extravaganza.
Oh, that was fantastic.
But... Well, it was. A lot of people misunderstood. It was such a critical, important thing that was actually being argued. They thought we should have done the show on what might have been under the Sphinx or in the pyramids or whatever. But what was being argued was near-term extremely important. And some people were disappointed. They said, well, they want to talk about what was in there, not the politics of what was going to be done to get in there. But it's so right on top of us that it was an important argument, very important.
Oh, right. But I had kind of a philosophy question for you. If you held a conference call and you had, like, Wayne Green, Richard Hoagland, Stan Deo, and then threw Bill Wattenberg in there just for a little reality, when the conversation got away from you,
It would quickly. Bill Wattenberg would be so angry.
my philosophy question is, would there be a sound associated with that many eyes glazing over at the same time?
Yes. Bill Wattenberg exploding. Boom. Thank you very much, sir.
Have a good one, Art.
Take care. Yeah, the explosion of Bill Wattenberg. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Arden Perump?
Arden Perump, yes.
This is Scott in Reno.
All right, Scott.
This might be remotely interesting to you, but I think I've discovered something that contributed to some of your success.
What?
Well, I made a phone call earlier this evening, actually yesterday evening, and I was put on hold, and I could hear a voice in the background. And I tried to study it into the voice and discovered that it was your voice.
I was in the background of this call?
Yeah, apparently I'm picking up the show. In the background of my telephone, matter of fact, I heard it as I was trying to call you just now. And
really?
Since you're kind of a radiophile, I was wondering if you could explain why that's happening.
Oh, you mean it's actually on your phone?
On the phone.
Oh. Oh, well, of course I can't hear it because I'm doing it. So,
right.
Yes. Where are you calling from?
Reno.
Reno. How far from KOH's towers are you?
Well, I'm in northwest Reno. I'm not quite sure where they're located.
Well, the easy answer is probably you're not very far from their tower.
Uh-huh.
And you're actually picking up the RF from their tower. Another answer might be that we have infected, as a virus would, the entire telephone system.
That's what I thought the answer would be.
Well, I doubt that's it. Probably you're close to their tower is the real answer. And if you put a 0.001 capacitor across the telephone receiver, or if you know how to open the phone, put it in there. It'll go away. Oh, yeah? Well, in that case, enjoy it.
Okay.
You know, if KOH, well, no, if they go off, you wouldn't hear it.
Well, thank you very much.
Call KOH and thank them.
Okay.
All right, thank you. See you later. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. I have the deepest respect for you, and I would never intentionally say anything to offend you.
This is usually the kind of thing that is said just before the other shoe falls. However,
I am so sorry if I upset you last night when I called.
Well, what did we talk about? Remind me.
I'm the jerk who told you that joke about that I said that I believed was clean, and I really did.
It wasn't, though. It wasn't clean.
It was cleaner than what that would-be nicotine cop said when he compared smoking to urinating in public. And,
well, and no, it really wasn't. I mean...
It didn't have any vulgar words.
Well, no, but, you know, clearly it was not clean. I mean, I did come out and say, is it clean? Remember?
Yeah. Well,
and you
I
said, oh, was, yes, it is.
I really honestly believed it was clean. I didn't plan to be a crank caller.
Oh, you're not a crank caller. You just...
tell you that we love you.
Oh, no, look, no problem. You're not a crank caller. Okay. I these things just slip out. I understand.
Okay, well, I do have another one for you, but you wouldn't trust me, would you?
No. No.
I was told by my sweet 76-year-old mom.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I bet. Yeah, your sweet 76-year-old mom.
She's listening right now. So, hi, Mom. I love you. And we'll continue to keep listening to you. Have a good night, Art.
See you later, my sweet 76-year-old mom. Ha ha, what a lead-in. Burn once, twice shy, dear. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, I got a comment about that smoky thing in Maryland.
Yes.
What about it's your own private property? How come you can't smoke on that?
Because it's outside.
But it's your property. Isn't there a constitutional, some in the Constitution?
Well, do you own the air? Well, do you own the air?
You own the property. You're smoking on
that doesn't
your
matter.
Property.
Do you own the air?
Not really.
That's right. You don't own the air. You have no title to the air. You're polluting the air, is what they're going to say.
Okay, one more quick comment about that.
And I think what we should do is have sovereignty of immediate airspace.
Exactly.
It's the only way that it's, you know, but it doesn't work that way. I mean, you can't shoot down airplanes and helicopters fly over your house, right?
Correct.
So you have no sovereignty of the air.
That's correct. I didn't think of it that way. Right. But getting to another point, if they're saying that this is bad for you, people say abortion is bad for you, why can't they outlaw abortion then?
Well, because they want to do what they want to do, and that's all there is to it.
They say it's okay to do something, to have abortion to do with
you know, it
body.
would be interesting to see what the U.S. Supreme Court would say about a law that bans smoking outside. I think it would be struck down myself.
I do, too.
Thank you very much. The U.S. Supreme Court says abortion is legal, and I believe that any law against smoking outside would be just flat unconstitutional. But what do I know? First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, Art. It's funny because I was just going to call and tell you about my Real Talk.
Oh, yes, really?
I love it. I have had it for about a year now, and I love it, and I've got the best library in the world of tape.
Well, anybody who's got Real Talk loves it. You know, yes. I mean, it's just a hot item to have.
Well, I'll tell you one of my problems. I taped Major Dames the other night.
Right.
And I had a 90-minute tape in the thing.
Right.
And at the very end of the tape, you had asked him about the chupacabra and also the strange animal in Egypt.
Yes.
And he was about to answer, and the tape came to an end. And I've been hanging since then. Could you take a minute on the show? I'm going to hang up. And kind of just tell me what he said.
No, I can't.
You can't?
No.
Oh, dear.
Well, I'm kidding. I really could. I shouldn't, because I don't want to get it wrong. I remember, indeed, the strange animals in Egypt, and I think what I asked him was, is there going to be more of this? More uh-huh. mutant animals, deformed animals?
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh, yes. Basically, he said yes. So all the signs we're seeing, the mutated frogs, all the rest of it is just the barest beginning.
And did he say that this was a mutation, or was he implying that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Now I can sleep.
Can you really?
Yes.
Even when you imagine that one of those mutant things might be crawling or slithering under your door?
Well, so far I haven't worried
Headed
about
for your bedroom? Up the bedpost? Into the bed?
I'm in Colorado.
In bed with you.
I haven't heard about them here yet.
Oh, well, that's right.
We
All
have
right,
animal
well.
Mutations, but we don't have those kinds.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. Can you imagine being in bed? Alone, and feeling something slithering up the bed, moving the bed, having enough weight to move the bed, headed toward you in the bed. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing all right. Turn your radio off.
Okay. Yeah, I've been listening to your show for about 2 weeks now. I just listened to it by accident the other day.
A lot of people find me by accident.
And I thought it was great, and I heard this alien show you had.
Yes.
And I thought it was real cool, and I was wondering how often do you do that?
When the mood strikes. You mean when I opened the alien line?
Yeah, that was really great.
Really?
I like. And I wonder if any way I can get, like, copies of your show.
Yes. Should I give you the number?
Yeah, if you could.
All right, it's 1-800.
Uh-huh.
Are you writing?
Uh-huh, 1-800.
Uh-huh, 917.
917.
4278.
4278.
4278.
All righty, thanks a lot, guy.
All right, take care. What is it with this alien line? Everybody loves the alien line. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
It's Mike from Nashville.
Hi, Mike.
Sit down, enjoying a good cigarette. Just got through getting breakfast done.
Well, I'm going to have to arrest you at a distance.
Tell you what, Art, I like my tobacco and I like my coffee. I like my eye opener in the morning. I get up real early. And,
You're just in all kinds of violation here. Now, we're talking
everything
caffeine.
Everything I do is wrong. What's that song Alan Jackson got? Everything I love is killing me.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, listen, I heard you getting chastised the other night for expressing your opinion on maybe not voting. In
yeah, I, well, actually voting none of the above. That's right. I don't care. I mean, people chastise me all they want.
I don't know whether people realize that or not. I watch a lot of our local council meetings here on public TV, and then I watch C-SPAN. Our senators and our congressmen and our councilmen, on many occasions, they don't exercise their right to vote. They call it an abstention.
I know.
And, you know, maybe politically correct, you should just say, I'm going to abstain.
Well, I could say that. I'd still get, you know, I learned a long time ago that whenever you say anything new or go against the grain, you're going to take hell and heat for it. And I'm used to it. I don't care anymore. I'm getting too old to care. I don't think there's a penny's worth of difference between the way these two guys are going to govern.
No, and I will tell you what I wish you'd do. It'd be interesting. Call the bookmakers, odds makers out there in Vegas, and get a line on the election as it stands today.
They don't make book on it.
They don't.
No, that's one thing they can't, well, they don't do.
I've heard it. I thought I'd heard it mentioned on other talk radios, but it would be interesting to see if it changed one iota after the debate tonight. There's nothing that the Republicans have done to cause the Democratic campaign to get on the defensive, and they're not going to do it now. You know, they're not going to throw no Hail Mary tonight, and I've done sacrificed two good ball games to watch these first two, and now they've got the hype on this one and all, and I guess I'm going to do the same thing tonight and not watch the Braves and the Cardinals for a while.
I wouldn't do that. I mean, that's what they make VCRs for.
And if I got a piece of that rock they're offering $5,000 for, I believe I'd just call old Michael Jackson and maybe get $1 million from him and let him put it in his den.
Well, I'm not sure Michael would cough it up, but I'll tell you what, somebody else would cough up far more than $5,000. So I'm telling my listeners, if you find that meteorite, don't call NASA.
I wouldn't begin to call him first. There's too many other people I'd call first. I wouldn't even want them to know I had it.
I wonder if you refused to sell it to him for the $5,000... It's my opinion they'd come probably just take it.
Well, they would use the same ruling that they're using on this smoking thing in Maryland. They would probably say it's for the protection. They'd use the their right is for protecting the general public and all that because there might be a hazard to that.
I'm sure they would.
Yeah, they'd come up with something along those lines.
I got a question for you.
All right.
Does Crystal Gayle live in Nashville?
Yes.
She does?
Yeah, she has a business here, other than, you know, her music business and all. She's got a shop out on the other side of town from where I'm at, and it's called Crystals. And she sells all kinds of imported crystal knickknacks and stuff.
You're a kid.
Yeah, and does a real good business out there and everything.
A lady who works with her sent me an autographed photograph of her.
I heard that on your show the other night.
God, that woman has the most beautiful hair.
Her hair, I used to book a little music. I used to be a talent agent, Art.
Uh-huh.
And one of the ladies I worked with in the office, she got her hair fixed at the same place that Crystal does. And she was down there, and she was talking about it one day. And I had to pick her up one day, too, and we were going to lunch. So I went in to get the lady that I worked with. Crystal was in there getting her hair done.
Uh-huh.
And she had six beauticians. They were rolling her hair, and they were using these 46-ounce cans, like tomato juice and orange juice and things come in.
You're kidding.
To roll her hair around. They were standing back, you know, like 6 feet, rolling her hair up on that, and she was all laid out, and it was an all-day job for her. She had an appearance or something.
Woman has the face of an angel. Listen, I got to go. My program is over. So from Music City there, you get to say, you know what?
From Music City, USA, and the future home of the Houston Oilers and the high desert, North America, good night.
Oh, that's done so well. I couldn't top that at all. Good night.